So we're holding in Chavis Levavis. We left off last time in Shaar Bitachon, Perek Gimel. And we were learning the Tnai, the various Tnayim, the various conditions, how one becomes a Baal Bitachon. So we started the seventh condition, which is that Yebor Eloi Kichol Habruim Shebaylam, everything that's created in the world, Yesh Gvul Mesuyim. Everything in the world was originally created by the Rabbanei Shlom with precise limitations and precise parameters. Their kamus, their echus, and their quantity and their quality, zmanam and mekaimam, their time and their place. Everything was, from the Sheish Mei Bereishis, already was bashert, exactly what's going to be. Exactly how many molecules, how many grains of sand, how many stars, how many blood cells a person will have in his body. It's down to the atoms, the less than atoms, the protons, the neurons, whatever it is, the mesons. It's all bashert, how many, what, how good or bad they'll be, where they'll be. And it's the Efshar, Lahoysef, Lagroya, and as far as the Gashmistika world, man has absolutely no power to add or to subtract. Nothing. The Rabbanei Shlom was Goyzer. And if Hashem said there should be more, there can't be less. Hashem said there be less, there can't be more. It's all from the Rabbanei Shlom. It can't come later. If Hashem says it should be at this time, it's not going to be a second later. You can't make it earlier than Hashem wants, and it's not going to be later than Hashem wants. Everything in the world is nigzer from the beginning of the Bria. And if something seems to change, if something does seem to change, so the truth of the matter is because this also is from the Rabbanei Shlom. And so if something was invented, and it was never invented before, so where did electricity come from? No one ever knew about electricity. No one ever heard of laser beams. It's all the Rabbanei Shlom decided that laser beams should just be introduced into the world at a certain time, x-rays should come into the world at a certain time, computers should be at a certain time. A human being has no koyach to make it come earlier or make it come later. And Windows 95 couldn't come in 98. And Windows 99 couldn't come in 92. It is impossible. The Rabbanei Shlom was goyzer kol ma she'abayre gozar betchilas abriya she'es v'apoyel. Everything that Hashem was goyzer has to be at a certain... everything is a preordained. Everything is preordained. And... a person, however, who is Einam Mizvainim Banogas Oilam, a person doesn't really think about all this, and just lives life, an unthinking life, really thinks that new things come up, and thinks that it was Alexander Graham Bell who invented the telephone. And he doesn't believe that the Rabbanei Shlom was Geyser over 5,500 years ago, that in the 1880s or something, a fellow in Boston, Alexander Graham Bell, Shemachaj the telephone. The truth of the matter is that if you think about it, who Ubasepis Alexander Graham Bell should be Mechazer telephone? Who is he? Such a brilliant person. He's such a chacham. He has so much koyach. The truth is that everything's begzeris habayris shenigzra betchilas habriya. Betchilas habriya, Hashem was geizer that there should be a telephone, and when it should be, and by whom it should come out into the world. So, if that's the case, so it would seem, says the Chavos Levavos, realizes that he's sort of making man, he has now emasculated men and made men feel worthless. So what is there for me to do in this world? I have mamish nothing to say about the matter. Here I had some pride in my work. Rabbi, you know, I took pride in my work after all. I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor. I thought I invented a new procedure. I thought I had a case over here. I saved somebody. I thought I really did something in my life. I thought I invented a telephone. I invented something. Now I'm nothing. I'm mamish a robot. So the Chavos Levavos has now effectively shrunk men into the equivalent of a blood cell. Just that the blood cell is preordained, and just like every atom is preordained, so a mensch is mamish, everything is preordained, so I'm mamish. I'm sinking into lethargy. I just have to do anything. I can be in a drunken stupor my entire life. Might as well fall asleep all day. It's going to happen anyway. So he says, you're right. Hishtadlus shaladam saviv kinyan elam azeh. A person's hishtadlus in regard to possessions of this world to make something earlier than Hashem wants it to be. You want to get money that's bashert to you next week. The check is in the mail, but you want to get it. You want to get an email. The mail's too slow for you, and you want to get it earlier, or you want something. You want to pay your taxes later, and you want to get the. Yesterday was a terrible day. You know, it was the second worst day of my year. You get your tax bill from the Rampo taxes yesterday, but this is the smaller tax. Yeah, in September you get the bigger tax. That's the first. That's the worst day of the year, and the second worst is yesterday. At any rate. So all these high taxes, what do you get for it? They didn't even plow my street. The snow is still, they didn't even plow my street. Of all days, they sent me my tax bill. They didn't even plow the streets. At any rate, it's not going to make a difference. If I would have stood on my head, the bill would come exactly when it came. And if I want more money or less money, it's not going to make a difference. The only difference that makes, now this again, he says the only difference it makes, the only way a man can make a difference, and only Rabban Shalom can figure this out how it works, is in kavanosai lagia al yedei shtadlusai lekim ha-mitzvahs ulavodas Hashem v'limud ha-Torah. Our shtadlus in our simple sustenance and maintenance, if my purpose is essentially to feed myself, to shelter myself, I want to make money, I want to go buy lumber to build myself a house, I want to chop down a tree, whatever I'm doing, if it's primarily just my own physical maintenance, it makes no, what I do, talk, it doesn't make a difference. It's gonna happen anyway. If Hashem wants me to have a house, then someone's gonna come build for me. If I really believe, there's nothing to worry about. If I need a house, I can just sit back and Hashem's gonna send me that house. It's gonna run after me. The house will run after me. I need a car, someone's gonna come over and give me a car. That's the Metzius. We've all had it in life where things just come out of the clear blue sky and makes no sense. Things it just runs after you. What's shared for you, it runs after you. So the only difference is the place where Hashem says we can make a difference and we should make a difference is if we're mishtadl and gashmias, if we do something in this world for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem, to serve Hashem, and to learn the Torah. Anything else is futile. Okay, this is also a broad statement that still cramps our style a lot, but at least we have some area of opportunity, a window of opportunity. So he says, a person who thinks otherwise, says the Chayvus Levavus, chaser loy, he's lacking in Akara, that the Rabbeinu Shlom knows exactly the idea brura, that Hashem knows clearly and truly what's going to be in the future, and it's all made up from Bria Sailam, and man can do nothing. And secondly, he doesn't understand how Hashem runs the world, and Hashem does everything for our good. If we understood that everything is for our good, so in other words, in the world of Gashmias, you have to understand that the entire emes is going to say in a second, Ein kol chodesh tachat haShemesh. That which Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Ein kol chodesh tachat haShemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. That means from the time that the world is created, everything that's under the sun, there's everything that's in this world, the world that we know, the solar system, our realm of activity. Beyond the solar system, we don't know what's going on out there. But in this world, where the sun's rays reach us, Ein kol chodesh tachat haShemesh, there's absolutely nothing new under the sun, meaning nothing can change from the day the sun was created. And the sun already was there, we know, from the first day of creation. Hashem just put it in the sky in the fourth day. From the beginning of creation, nothing can be changed. Ein kol chodesh, man is helpless to mechadesh anything. And we should know, though, that everything that Hashem ordained from the creation is all for our good. It's all for our good. So it comes to the physical world, there's nothing for us to contribute to this world. It's taka, there's nothing for us to contribute. It looks like it, but there's nothing to contribute. There's nothing to contribute. So he says, Shlomo HaMelech said this in Koheles. Oh, very good. So I'm glad, you know, it sounds so maybe radical that I would be scared to say all these things unless I'm quoting a Chayvus Levavus, who is unchallenged in the Jewish world. And he's quoting Shlomo HaMelech, who's unchallenged. Can't be Shlomo HaMelech. And if it seems a little bit strange to us, it's only because we're ignorant and we haven't learned enough and we haven't studied Koheles properly. It's our ignorance. It's not that he's saying something radical. He says, Shlomo HaMelech says in the third Koheles, Paragimel Pasagalev, Rakholzman, Veis l'kol chefetz tachas ha-shamayim. Everyone knows the pasuk. There's a time for everything. For everything there's a time. And there's a specific moment for every chefetz, for every material object, tachas ha-shemesh, tachas ha-shamayim. Everything under the sky. And everything in the oilam ha-gashmi, it already is preordained. It's time. It's specific time. And then we know that Shlomo HaMelech gives us 28 different times, Ma'anagas Abari, you have 28, then he's a bit more specific. He says, there's Eis Laledes, Eis Lamus, it's the time to give birth and the time to die. And a person's death, the exact moment is preordained, and the time that he's going to give birth is preordained. Alsas from the Rabbanu Shlom. Eis Mulchama, Eis Shalom, the time for war, the time for peace. And Shlomo HaMelech says further, he says in Koheles chapter 9, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shafti Ure'oi, Tachas HaShemesh, I came back and I looked more carefully at everything under the sun, Ki Loi L'Kalim HaMeirot, not to the swift goes the race does not go to the swift, Lo L'Kalim HaMeirot, Lo L'Giborim Muhammad, is not to the strong goes the victory in battle, V'gam loy l'chachomim lechem, and it is not to the smart, wise guys, the clever people who get bread, who have parnasa. So you shouldn't think that you win battles because you're such a great warrior, and you win in the stock market because you were smart enough to buy Amazon. No, v'gam loy l'nevoy l'moysher, and not even the real smart guys get very wealthy. V'gam loy l'yoydim chayn, and not those people who know everything, that they get charm and grace in people's eyes. And it's not the people who are so clever that people are attracted to. Doesn't make it. A person's popularity is an enigma. Why certain people are popular, why certain people capture the public's imagination, it makes no sense whatsoever. It is basheret. Ki eis vapega yikre es kulam. Because there's a time, a good time for everybody, and there's a pega, there's never a time of disaster and calamity and catastrophe for everybody. And it's all basheret from the Rabbanu Shlom. So everything tachas haShemesh, actually, it says also in Koheles, it says in Koheles elsewhere that Ma Yisran LaAdam sheYamol tachas haShemesh. The Gemara says in Shabbos of Laman Beis, this is the Mefarshim bring down the bottom here, that what a value and advantage the person have toiling under the sun. And the Gemara says tachas haShemesh, there's no Yisron, Aval Koydam haShemesh, beneath the sun, after the world's created, there's nothing there. But above the sun, past the sun, meaning when you're trying to be oyla l'shamayim, get close to Hashem, that entire mitzvah, which catapult on the shamas to the kisya kavod, which is before the sun and before the bria of this finite world, there a man can accomplish something. But in this world, tachas haShemesh, man essentially his efforts are worthless. It looks like it. It really looks like he's doing great things. It's so amazing what man has done. But it's what hath God wrought. It is what God has done, not what man has done. A man thinks he's doing. He is not doing anything. And you can be the greatest astronaut, and then there's a challenger. It's the yard site around now. Challenger yard site. Remember, challenger went up, and boom. So you have the most incredible piece of equipment, billions of dollars, and Hashem wants. Whole thing, this one little O-ring, one kalena narishkeit worth 25 cents. The thing is not for Seder, and the whole $2 billion project goes up in flames. And you can have other spacecraft going up that are faulty, and they were ill-designed. The earlier ones, the Geminis and the Mercuries, and they were so primitive, and they go up, and they do fine, and they're losing plates, and they're losing this, and the people don't fit into them, and this doesn't inflate, and that doesn't inflate. And the eventual wheel is going to go fine. You can have a perfect challenger. One little O-ring, some gasket is missing, and the whole thing blows up, the kingdom come. So in the Olam Hazeh, it looks like we're doing great things, but it's Alz Bashet. And he said another pasuk tells hey im oishek rush vegezel mishpat vetzedek tira b'medina. If you see that there's crime in a certain medina and the poor are being exploited and something is wrong, al titama al titma al achefetz. Don't wonder what's going on over here. Why suddenly is an outburst of crime? And now the president tells us the crime is down. Don't even explain it. You want to tell me it's the economy, things are better. Sometimes crime is up, sometimes crime is down. What's going on? So the answer is, ki gavoya me'al gavoya shomer u'gavoyim aleihem. Because the real shomer is gavoya me'al gavoya. He's high, he's on high, on top of on high. U'gavoyim aleihem is even higher. You shouldn't think that the Shomrim are the police force. You shouldn't think it's because of the new police commissioner. So every single town in this country suddenly got a new police commissioner. It's the whole country, the crime is down. Now, that doesn't even make sense. There's different climates, there's different economic situations. Suddenly, the crime is down by 30% in the country. I go explain it. New York, we got a new police commissioner. We got a tough Italian mayor. We're breaking the mafia. The mafia was so powerful for such a long time. What happened to the mafia suddenly? Where did the mafia go wrong? Nebuch, you have to say something for the Gambinos and for our Gotti friends. And where's the world going to be without them? It's not going to be exciting anymore. The Rebbe Ishtonville is the end of the mafia. When the Rebbe Ishtonville doesn't want this hefker, it doesn't make any sense. The world is powerless. The mafia runs the world. It doesn't even make sense. The answer is because the real Shomer is Al Tisma Ala Chayfetz. Don't be perplexed. Ala Chayfetz, what's going on? Ki Gavoya Me'al Gavoya Shomer. Because the real Shomer is a high and on top, on high and high and high. Ugvoyim Alein is higher and higher. The real police force is the Rebbe Ishtonville. He's the untouchables, that's the real untouchable, and the real uncorruptible, and if he decides it's the end of the mafia, it's the end. If not, the mafia reigns supreme in the ganze Welt. And Hadrachim, what that means is, Hadrachim keitzad abari yizbarach moitziyas k'zeirois of apoyel, the way that Hashem will bring His decrees and His design into reality. They are totally hidden, they are so hidden, and so deep, and so high, that's beyond human comprehension, that we can't understand a little bit. And certainly not all of them. And that, it's impossible. We think we understand how God runs the world. In our arrogance, we presume to understand, I not understand a little bit. No. We have no hasaga. This is the most important thing to understand. We have to have absolute humility. Ki gavoya, mal gavoya, shomer, gvoim aleim. It's high and higher and higher. It is way, way beyond that comprehension. So everything in the world, so if you ask me something about calculus, I don't know what it means. If you ask me about advanced trigonometry, I don't know what it means, Afilo. I don't even know what it means. I don't know how it looks. I don't know what it looks like, calculus. I don't understand. I don't even know what it means. I wouldn't even begin. I'm not even interested. It's beyond me. It's just that my brain doesn't work in that way. It's mamish beyond me. I know what a logarithm is. What is that? It's a piece of wood or something that the dancing, a logarithm. I don't know what it means, but the kids, I don't know what it is. So the Rebbe Ishtonville is incomparably higher than that, and therefore it says in Yeshaya, the Yeshaya Navi says this is Daf Torah. Ki gavu shamayim me'aretz. Daf Torah for a tainus. Ki gavu shamayim me'aretz. Ken gavu derochem edarcheichem. Just like the highest heavens. Now highest heavens. We're talking about the quasars, which are 10 billion light years away. 10 billion light years away. So just like the heavens are high above earth, it's only a metaphor for how much higher and how much more remote are the ways of God and the ways of thinking of God than darkechem. My ways and your ways, my thoughts, says God, and your thoughts, they are so distant, there's no shaykh as a karv zelzer. And just when we think, I understand what God's doing now. Yeah, I understand what God's doing. We understand absolutely nothing of the dark. Hashem, it makes absolutely no sense. And just sometimes you think you understand something, so you'll read the parashat, you see the story of Yosef, and you see how incredibly everything works out. L'tayva, the biggest tragedy in Yaakov's life, he loses his son Yosef. And his son Yosef is gone, he's about to lose Shimon. And everything is geferlich, and his 10 sons are down, and he sends Binyamin down, maybe in the danger. And it's the mamish, the pits of the bleakest and the blackest and the deepest. And suddenly, like a mamish, like a fairy tale, it all works out. L'tayva, I mean, it's unbelievable, and it comes the biggest sus and the simcha. And we realize that Yosef being sold to Mitzrayim instead of being Yaakov's biggest tragedy is Yaakov's biggest triumph. And there is versteht for such things. Who understands a Yaakov for 22 years is mamish and deepest melancholy, has no ruach, we all have ruach HaKodesh. That means he was deep depression, deep melancholy. There cannot be any ruach HaKodesh with Tsar. For 22 years, Yaakov thinks he's going straight to Gehenna. He lost his son Yosef. That means he's going to Gehenna. He is a Gehenna mensch. His life is a living hell. He's hell on this earth already. It's Gehenna. He's a lost soul. Yaakov Avinu is in Gantan Tzabrochim. He is shattered. He is totally shattered. And suddenly with one word, Ani Yosef, two words, Ani Yosef, Oid Yosef Chai, he suddenly, it's a whole new world opens up. He didn't understand what the Rebbe Ishtonville was doing. He had no clue. Didn't have a clue what the Rebbe Ishtonville was doing over here. But this already is just a glimpse. We still don't understand. Even though we learned the Torah, there's so much more going on in the story of the Torah. That's why the thing of learning deeper into Chazal, deeper Midrashim, deeper Kabbalah, deeper Nistar. Even we don't understand what Yosef was doing in Mitzrayim. The whole Mechiras Yosef, not only Ashpa directly for right there, the Ashpa of Mechiras Yosef is to this very day. And we don't understand how our fortunes today, and whether we're going to slip on a patch of ice today or not, the Mitzvah Shem you won't, whether we're going to have a good day or not, whether you're going to spill a cup of coffee in yourself or not, has to do with Mechiras Yosef. It all has to go to Mechiras Yosef. Do we understand such things? Do you have a saga that we're still being influenced by Mechiras Yosef? Do you have a saga that what Avram did with the Malachim at his tent, something so remote, such a story, it's written in the Torah, what does it do with me? That what he did over there is Ashaychus today. And the fallout from the ecological and environmental damage from Sodom still has some shaykhs to today. And we're still suffering from the environmental damage from the blow up of Sodom. There's still, the Gemara says, there's still things, just to give us a glimpse, the Gemara says there's a certain salt called Melach Sodomis. There's a dangerous salt in the world. And you put it in your eyes, Rechmon Stan, you get blinded. Where's this Melach Sodomis? Where did it come from? I got my salt over here from Mr. Morton. Reb Morton gave me my salt. I got Morton salt, not Sodom salt. Yeah, there's still Sodom salt all around. Yeah, we have no Asaga. The Sodom is still insidiously infecting the world. Has the shaykhs of the world. So the Kalala Sodom is still here. And the brachas of Aram is still here. And we don't even begin to understand that. We have no idea what's going on. The ganze Welt, we think we understand something. We understand absolutely nothing. And that's what all we can do is learn Torah. All we can do is do mitzvahs. Because actually, once you start thinking about these things, it is so overwhelming. And it's so baffling. You can really lose your faith. You can go, I'm mamash meshuggah. If I realize that the world is so complicated and it's so beyond me, so mekem meshuggah. So don't. That's not your problem. It's exactly the point. Just be b'tzmimus with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Do what the Torah says. Do your mitzvahs. Learn your Torah as you understand on your level. Don't go beyond your level. Understand what you can, and that's it. Amuna pshuta. Because once you start thinking, you should know the facts. The facts are that. The Navi that the Rebbeinu says, Yigavu Shamayim Oret, like as far as the most distant 10 billion light years away, 10 billion times 6 trillion, that's gone beyond that. There's things that are 10 billion times 6 trillion miles away, just like you don't understand what's going on out there, that's how high, and of course higher, is Drachai Midarcheichem Umachshavoysai Mimachshavoyseichem. So therefore says the Chavis Levavis, that the Tanai, one of the important Tanayim for Bitachon Bashem, is a sense of absolute recognition of our absolute helplessness, of our brains being so puny. And the only place where our status means something, we have to discuss it another day at greater length, is in mitzvahs and Torah. So Torah mitzvahs, yes, their taket pays to run. To run, to call your stockbroker, you're worried. Oh, I gotta call him first thing in the morning. I wanna chop this great deal. If I call him at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll get it before the opening in Tokyo. I'll chop up. It's a big deal on the yen. And if I call him 10 o'clock, you're so upset, you're so frustrated. Your wife is on the phone. You're getting angry at her. Get off the phone already. You know I could have made $3 million today if you'd gotten the phone. You cogged the line, and if not for you, I would have gotten there. And you're kicking your computer because the computer wanted to blink just when you were called. You're broken to make that deal, and you're kicking the computer. Why is the computer on the blink? And if not for that computer, I would have made $1 million to that silly computer. And you're cursing your bad luck. And you're so upset. You're stuck in traffic. You're not stuck in traffic because the guy in front of you was slow. That's the great test of Amunah. The slow guy in front of you in traffic. That guy, you're cursing him. You're screaming, you idiot. I could have made the light look because you have missed that red light. You're shooking it. And the world, it goes on. What do we say about the guy in front of us who's going 25 miles an hour and says 35 miles with Feirish, and this guy's crafting along because he's 97 years old and the guy should have his license revoked. And what's the guy doing driving anyway? And this guy's crawling along and I could have made the light. You should know that light means absolutely nothing. You didn't make the light because of a shirt. 5,759 years ago, that there'd be a light over there, and the light would blink red exactly at that second, as Bashar, your car's going to go only 25 miles an hour, not because he's in front of you, you think that you're going 25 miles, because he's going 25, you're going 25 because Hashem said that's your car's going to go 25 miles an hour, and you missed the light because Hashem ordained it 5,759 years ago. So that's what he worried about. It's assuming not supposed to rush. The only place where you should rush is to do a mitzvah. You should rush to get to shul on time. Don't come late. That you have to rush. Now, it doesn't mean you have to rush again through red lights and you have to be upset with the guy in front of you. It's still not. The point is, yeah, that makes a difference. Get up early in the morning. You should get up early in the morning. You should get up early in the morning, so you should daven on time. You should get up early in the morning, so you stay till before davening and learn the Mishnah before davening and go to the mikveh before davening and then be an Erlich HaYid. Yeah, that's kedai to get up early.
But to get up early to go and call your stockbroker, my friend, you're not going to get a penny more or a penny less. You call your stockbroker at 10 o'clock, you'll see you got to, maybe if it's Basharet, you'll get the best price. If it's not Basharet, you can lose the money anyway. It doesn't make a difference. The only thing that's tachas HaShemesh. That's underneath the sun. Underneath the sun, it makes no difference. Any money that's coming to you is going to run after you. You have to the minute. Today we're not discussing your status of money. But the etzim, the machshava is that very, very little you have to do. Very, very little. Minimum. And less than minimum. But ruchnius, that's al-malam HaShemesh, lifnei HaShemesh, and ruchnius, that's where a person has to run to do a mitzvah. And Avraham Avinu is running out to Malachim. He doesn't wait for Malachim to come to his tent. Avram runs out to greet them. Mitzvahs, that's the Adam, the Amal. Yulet says the Gemara, maybe the Amal means, toil means, to physical labor. No, it's not the physical labor. It's the Amal Peh. You have to be Amal with our mouths, Divrei Torah, Divrei Chachma, Divrei Tefillah, to talk to people, make them feel good. Before someone calls, you see somebody's not feeling so happily, you call him up, you get up early in the morning to call up somebody, you get up early to call Israel, somebody need a little chizuk, a little cheering up. So in matters that have to do with ruchnias and mitzvahs and Torah and chesed, that's where a man is not a robot at all. That's where Hashem said, it's up to you in Ganson. You have a designer life, you design your life, and there you can be as generous as you want, and there I'm giving you impulses to be generous and be good and do it, and this is up to you entirely. If you don't do it, you lost it, and you missed the opportunity for mitzvah. If you do it, you chop the rein, and the mitzvah's flying by, you're missing them, chop the rein, get up early, grab the mitzvah, grab the opportunity. In Gashmias, you can go 25 miles an hour. Take it easy. Don't be such a rush. Don't sweat. Don't be a schwitzer. Don't be a hustler. Don't have to hustle so hard. Don't have to work so hard. Don't be so smart. Meshugana, going crazy with schemes and plans. It's all dvarim b'talim. Everything you make over here, you lose over there. You're crazy. You're meshugana. You're absolutely out of your mind. What? It doesn't make a difference. Do the minimum, just. It shouldn't be miracles. The minimum, minimum, minimum. The minimum, minimum. Whatever is coming to you is coming to them. It's coming to you. It's going to come to you. In Ruchni, it's not going to come to you. In Mitzvah, it's not going to come. Havirat achar mitzvah. You have to run after mitzvah. You have to run after mitzvah. It's not, because by definition, mitzvahs run away from a person. You have to run after mitzvahs. And Gashmias, whatever is coming will run after you. This is the aside of the Chavos Levavos. And we'll continue this next week, Rabbi Yisai. Rabbi Chanani, Bekash, Shomer, Etzakot, Bar, Lazak, Israel, Lefichon, Otar, Mitzvah, Shnemer, Lechavis, Man, Sitko, Yad, Otar, Vyadir. So, Bez Hashem is Barach, we continue. I believe this is the 10th Shir in Chavos Levavos. And we are here in the third, in Shar B'Tachon, Perek Gimel. And, you know, there's two ways to learn Chavos Levavos. There was a great rabbi, Rabbi Usher of Luniel, Rabbi Usher ben Shalamya of Luniel, who made a kitzur Chavos Levavos. He held so much of Chavos Levavos, he lived in the 1200s, I believe. He felt it was so important that he made a kitzur, and he divided the kitzur into seven parts, so that he could learn the whole Chavos Levavos every week. But of course, his kitzur was a real kitzur, for like 5-10% of the whole sefer. But that's losing the whole flavor of how the Chavos Levavos develops his thinking. The really part of the beauty is not just the yesoidus, but the development, his way of thinking, his analysis. I'm not going through word for word with you, we're sort of going in the middle of the road. We're culling some of the main yesodos, but with a little bit of his analysis and how he develops it. So he has tenoyim, he has agdamas, he has conditions for bitachon, he has agdamas, prefaces to bitachon. So everything has a very small different nuance of meaning. Here we're holding in the second Hakdama, the second introduction, before you even start discussing Bitachon. He says, you have to know, last week we learned the first Hakdama in the third Shar. So here he says like this, the second thing you must know is that part of Bitachon is to know that the Rabbanu Shalom Mistakel Olav, Hashem is staring at us every single second. Hashem is scrutinizing us. We're under a fine microscope. Even as I talk right now, the Rebbeinu Shlom is picking our brains. Rosh is not merely looking at our actions, but he's looking at our thoughts and our hearts. Nothing is hidden from the Rebbeinu Shlom. Both the Amunah that's visible, Nireis, and the Amunah that's Tzvunah. The Rabbeinu Shalom knows him. Hashem knows if we really have, if we trust him with a full heart. As it says in Tilim Tzadik Dalid, Adonai Yodea Machshavos Adam Kehemoy Havel. Hashem knows the real thoughts of man, that most of them are hevel, they're a waste. And what we're so proud of ourselves, the great thoughts we have, are just empty, hollow, hot air. Hema Havel, hot air. And Shlomo HaMelech says it again in Mishlei Chav Dalet. Haloi toichein libois hu yavin. The Rabbeinu Shalom, who was toichein libois, Hashem designed our hearts. He knows what's going on in the hearts. And the truth is Hashem knows better. It's really an incredible thing. There's a great Musar Haskel to be learned from the Y2K bug, which the world is so totally obsessed with as we are approaching the second, this next millennium, because the third millennium, actually, end of the second here, because it's a pelet gazach. Somebody, a few programmers, made a mistake only 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, and they designed all the computers in the world without 2,000 properly printed out, just OO, and therefore the computer can read OO as either 1,900 or 2,000. This bug is unbelievable. It's really amazing. People are spending billions and billions, every countries and companies are putting aside tens, hundreds of billions, and it's very serious. And the mamash are afraid there's going to be a big crash, and they can't even find it. Because they're so deep in the program, there might be hidden the Y2K bug, that they have to go through line by line and word by word in order to weed it out. See, even the designers don't know anymore what they did. The designers don't even know. But one thing's for sure, if you have a little bug, it can destroy everything. A panemius, like a little bug, can destroy everything. And so too in our hearts, the Baruch Hashem wants of us to have absolute bitachon. We don't even know ourselves. Hashem knows. Hashem is the one that programmed us, so he knows the emes. He knows exactly where the bugs are. Of course, we have free choice. But there's bugs inside every one of us. We ourselves don't know. And the Rebbeinu Shlom knows the emes. And we, our job, in order to be professional, Bali B'tachon, to earn the BB degree, Bali B'tachon, Mamish, we have to really check it. Even if we think we got B'tachon, as we say in davening, V'sein Sachar Toiv, L'chol HaBoitchem B'Shimcha B'Emes. Hashem gives a good schar, which is this world too, and this world and the next world, if it's be'emes. And we can fool ourselves. So he says, the side of bitachon is that Hashem knows the emes, and we shouldn't fool ourselves. And we have to constantly work on bitachon. You cannot, just like you know that your car, lahavdil, needs constant maintenance. You have the best car in the world that rolls out of the showroom. But it has to be maintained, and you have to tune it up, and you have to clean it, and you have to change the oil. So a person has to go keseder into his hard disk, and see, look out for bugs. Even if there wasn't a bug in the first place, something might have crept in. And he says in Malachim, Ki ato yodata levavchas levav kol bni adam. You, Rebbeinu Shlom, yourself know the hearts of man. And Derech Agav, we once spoke about this, Tosfos in the Shabbos, I believe it's Daf Yudbeis, has the Shaila. Can you give me a Gemara Shabbos, please? The Gemara has the Shaila over there. Tosfos speaks about the question whether Malachi Ashores, thank you, whether Malachi Ashores know men's thoughts. Do the angels know the thoughts deep in the heart of men? So the Gemara says that Malachi Ashores are not Makir and Lashon Arami. They don't know Aramaic. Malachi Ashores don't know Aramaic. It's not for them. It's a corrupted language. Except for Gavriel, says Tosfos. Tosfos, he knows every language. But Tosfos Frag, the Tema, the Afilo Machshava Shabalev, Kaladim Yodim. They zichano machshava shleif shel adam, but lashna rami ain't Yodim. So it says they know the machshavas in the person's heart. So they wouldn't know the language of a rami. How could it be that the external language they don't know? They even know what's going on in man's hearts. So how could it be that they don't know lashna rami? So who told Tosfos that malachi ashores know machshavas in people's hearts? That Tosfos doesn't say we know that from. He says there are pasha though that angels know the thoughts in the heart of men. So if they know the thoughts, how can it be they don't know Lashon Rami? So the answer is that even there are psukim. So the mefarshim here in the back bring down various psukim that it's mashma that an angel can know thoughts, but there's a difference between a thought and machshavish belev. Even thought is not the depth of a person. A thought is your brain, but the angels don't know what's going on. They really don't know in the lev, the machshavas halev mamish. They don't really know. Only Hashem knows the lev. That's what this pasuk says. Befeir, it's not like that. This pasuk says the even malach knows my mind, like what I'm thinking, but a malach. It says, "Ki atoya data levatcha es levav kol bnei adam." Only Hashem knows. Only Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech said here in Malachim Aleph Perek Ches, "Ki atoya data levatcha es levav kol bnei adam." Only he said levatcha. Only Hashem knows. Really, the real program. A malach can know certain things. He can't know everything. A malach doesn't know the depth of the heart. He might know there's some thoughts, but the heart. Only the Rebbeinu knows. Mamish the heart. The heart. That's for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And that's where this bug's inside. But listen to what he says over here. He says, therefore, a person should only say, this is, that he's a Baal Bitachim. So, here there's a, when I say there's a degree called Baal Bitachim, I'm not joking. There's a BB, Bayes degree called Baal Bitachim. It's something we should all earn. It's the goal of our life. But a person, Lainachan, Metzida, Lahatsim, Dibur, it's not right for a person to proclaim with his mouth that he's Batev, but Lakim Yisbarach. Unless meblishi yiftach alav gam belibay uvamatzpunay, unless a person believes in Hashem in the depth of his heart and the depth of his subconscious, you have to be true. Why? Because first of all, if you are not sincere, the Navi Yeshaya says in Perek Chavtes, v'piv uvesvasav kibduni, v'libo richak mimeni. With his mouth and with his lips, he honored me, but his heart is far away. So, Hashem wants the hearts. So, if a person, his heart is not fully with Hashem, but he claims he is, and text tells everybody what great Baal Bitachon he is, so that's false. And Hashem doesn't like that. But the Mefarshim say another word over here. The Mefarshim say they can bring to a Chilul Hashem. Why? Because since a person claims he's a Baal Bitachon, and then afterwards he might face a test and fail the test. And in the end, he will come chas shalom to punishment. So there, it's chilul Hashem. People say, you see the Baal Bitachon, look what happened to the Baal Bitachon. It doesn't pay to have faith in God. This man used to tell us all the time, he's the biggest Baal Bitachon. He has faith in Hashem, and look, Hashem abandoned him. Look what happened to him. If he would have been a Baal Bitachon, really, everything would have worked out fine. But since he wasn't really Baal Bitachon, Hashem couldn't give him what he says he's worthy of. So therefore, the Chavetz Chavos warns us that a person shouldn't make claims about Bitachon until he really is sure he's there. Otherwise, he angers Hashem, and he also can bring to a Chilul Hashem. So now he says, Hakdama Shlisha. So what's the third Hakdama? What's the third prerequisite to Bitachon? That is, that to really... So what is that bug there? How will you please identify the bug? Why is this bug that contaminates the purity of our bitachon? What is it, Taka? How do I identify? What do I look for? What do I look? I'm going back into the program. What do I look for that is going to make my bitachon crash? And the answer is that true bitachon is sheyift. Very simple. True bitachon sheyiftach ala lehav levadoi. You have to have only Hashem and nobody else. Nothing else. Anything that you mechuyit be b'teach b'Hashem, Al Yeshatev Elavachi, you cannot have any partners with God. God will brook no partners. I believe in God, but I believe in my boss also. I believe in my boss. He promised me a salary, and I know that I believe in my boss. The boss is only a pawn in Hashem's hand. If Hashem doesn't want, the boss will fire you tomorrow. The boss only hired you because Hashem told him to hire you. And when Hashem wants, the boss will be disenchanted with you. You lose your job. So don't think that you lost your funding. Something happened. Oh, the United States of America is enchanted that I lost my funding. It's not the United States of America. It's the Rabbeinu Shlalom. Hashem puts in the hearts of your employers, your bosses, whatever, that they should like you or dislike you. And if you believe in the actually boss as some shaykhs, and you're going to try to please the boss, you're missing the whole point. And the same thing he says. Now again, we're getting into very touchy seconds, this is a very touchy area. This is a very touchy area, and this is the area of medicine. This is the area of medicine. He says, even when it comes to medicine, a person has to be careful not to put too much faith in the doctor. Now, this is a little more difficult because there's no mitzvah to believe in your boss. There's no mitzvah. I mean, yeah. Well, let's say you have to work, but you don't have to believe in this particular person that he has some powers, or he has a, this person was not this fellow who's running your company, and he's in charge of the computers. There's no mitzvah in the Torah to believe in him. But a doctor, the Torah says, Rapi, Rapi, that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave a doctor a license to heal. And it's a mitzvah, it's not only a reshus, now that it's a reshus, it's a mitzvah. According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah of Ashivai Saloi. When a doctor heals, he fulfills a Torah mitzvah of returning somebody's health. It's a mitzvah like returning a lost article. And it's a mitzvah really to go to the doctor. Also, Shmartam Nafsha Sechem. A person should go to a doctor when necessary. So it's a mitzvah to heal, and it's a mitzvah to be healed. So this already is a little more serious. Nevertheless, this also we have to keep in mind. He says, even though there's a mitzvah, but again, the doctor is still with God's license. That's why the Torah says, V'rapo yirapei mikanshin reshus l'rape l'rapos. First he has to get a license. Once he has reshus, once he may, then he must. But first he may. So he has to, and the may comes from Hashem. In other words, the doctor, his Harvard diploma from Harvard Medical, or Columbia Medical, is not what gives him his license to practice. Don't be sumach on that. He can still make big mistakes. So the biggest Harvard grads and Columbia grads have committed big malpractice and killed their patients. Because it is Hashem who really guides the hands of the surgeon and guides the mind of the internist to prescribe the right medicine. And ultimately, it's the Rebbeinu Shlom. And that's what we daven every day. Refeinu Hashem v'nei refei. So what are we davening for? If I go to my doctor, what am I davening for? Of course, I'm davening that the doctor should be a good shliach. And therefore, even there, you shouldn't put too much faith in the doctor. Ultimately, you have to say, just like, it goes even deeper, but when I go to work, again, I am going to work, but my faith is that Hashem doesn't want, I'm not going to make one sale today. I have to make sales, and I'm doing the sales work, this is my shtadlus, but I know ultimately that I knock on the door, it is not my bright, sweet smile, and my great voice, and my genial personality, which is going to make me the sale. I have to daven, Rebbeinu Shlom, please, put in the head of this person, they should buy my Fuller brushes. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Let him buy my Avon products. Let him buy my carpets and my rugs, or else it's not going to happen. So with doctors, he says, so the truth of the matter is, that I don't want to get off on a tangent here with doctors, but the Ramban, who himself was a doctor, and certainly endorses the medical arts, but in the parts of the Chukosa, where he speaks about the highest levels of Bitachon, so he says that, what is a doctor doing in the house of a person who's truly serving Hashem? If a person would serve Hashem properly, he wouldn't need an intermediary between him and the Rebbeinu Shlom. Ani Hashem Reifecha. The third, Hashem says, I'm your doctor. If we were on the proper Madrega, we could go directly to the Rebbeinu Shlom for four. We're not holding there. But even when we're holding by doctors, we should know that Hashem is really the ultimate doctor, and the Iker is Refeinu. But I'm not going to get off on a tangent on medicine, but he does bring down the pasuk here in Divrei Yomim, that Asa, one of the kings of Israel, who had bad, he was punished with his feet, he had big problems with his feet, arthritis, gout, some kind of a limp. So it says there, v'gam b'chol yoy loy dorash es Hashem ki baroifim, and he was punished. He was a lamros chasidu, so despite the fact that Asa was a big chasid, but it says when he was sick, he didn't search out God, he didn't beseech Hashem, loy dorash es Hashem ki baroifim, but he looked at the doctors. Again, is there anything wrong going to the doctor? No. But the thing was, he really put, only God knows that, only Hashem can say, he put more faith in his doctor than the Rebbeinu Shlom, and is looking for second opinions and third opinions. He should have spent more time saying, Tilm to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Avada, if you're not on the highest level, you have to go to a doctor, but how much are you putting into the doctor? Go and say, Tilm, that the Rebbeinu Shlom should send you to the right doctor in the first place. Go say, Tilm, that the doctor, you should be zoicha, that the doctor should be the shliach and give you a refuah shlema, and it should be without pain. Because you're not zoicha, it says, yishlach, what is Shein Pasuk, yishlach, we have a tilum over here. It says in the pasuk that you have to be careful. A doctor, there's also side effects. You have to daven that there should not be side effects. So he's saying tilum, Vashtaten pasuk over there. I'm not sure I'll be able to find it, but I think it's Which state this in Pasuk? It says, Yemalet mishchisaisam. Yishtar dvar v'yir poyem, v'yemalet mishchisaisam. Hashem sends his word, and he heals somebody, and he saved the person, mishchisaisam, from the deleterious side effects that can come with medical. V'yemalet mishchisaisam. And that's why, you know, it says in the Pasuk, by a doctor of Basar Adam, it says, Rapo yirapei. The pei has a dogesh, has a shtach. And when we die, we say, Rafei, no Hashem, and they Rafei, with a fe, rafe, soft. When Hashem cures us, it's soft and tender. There's no side effects. There's no, chas v'shalom side effects. When it's a doctor, it can be shchisoysam. There can be other pains and other tzaras coming. So you say, Yishla advar v'yir poyim, v'yamaleit mishchisoysam. So, he says this too requires bitachon. Even going to a doctor requires bitachon. So therefore, David Yaduahu, he says that if a person is mamane shnei mamunim, a yaiser, lemali eza tafkid, azein lemini ze erech. He says it's known that if you appoint one person, do something for you to be your agent, it gets done. If you appoint two people, nobody does it. It was right just in Daf Yomi. Was it Daf Yud, the Aleph, where the Gemara said over there that with a mezuzah, Gemara Yumadaf, Gemara says a mezuzah of a city is only checked once, of the Shara city is only checked once in a Yovel. So Drash should make it easy. Because anything that's given over to a Rabbim, more than one person, that the whole city is in charge over here, if you make it too hard for them, no one's going to do anything. Remember that rule in making committees, that if it's too hard, no one's going to, it'll never happen. So it comes to a Tzibur, you have to remember that. For once in a Yovel, you check. You only check a mezuzah once in a Yovel. It's outside, mind you. It's in the Shara of the city. Says Rashi, because as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Kedered Veshutzvi, Loichamimi Veloichariri, the partner's pot is neither cold nor hot. It's always lukewarm. So, if you have partnership with the Rabbanu Shlom, you're going to get a lukewarm from the Rabbanu Shlom. If you say Rabbanu Shlom, Eina. So, the Navi Ora Gebresh Yiftach Ba'adam. The sum buses royoy, min adonai yaser liboy. Cursed is the man who puts his faith in men. The sum buses ro and puts his power in flesh, and min adonai yaser liboy and takes his heart away from the Rabbanu Shlom. Even if he has his heart partially with the Rabbanu Shlom, but he puts some of his faith in other human beings, so that person is that itself is a curse. Or it's a curse. Baruch Hagev Hashiyiftach Ba'adonoi V'hoi Adonoi Mivtachet. Then he says in the fourth Hakdama, the fourth important thing is, he says, well, listen, the proof, positive, so why is the proof that you're putting your full faith in Hashem? The proof that you're really putting your faith in Hashem and you got rid of the bugs, that you're not putting your faith in people? This is so hard, this is a lifetime of work, not to put your faith in people, not to chant for people, not to be a people pleaser. It says that a person should try to find chayin in the eyes of people too. But it says first is bnei elakim, and it says v'yisin nekiyim. A person has to be naki. A person has to be careful not to antagonize people. A person should not arouse suspicion. A person has to bend over backward to be humble. We said of Yetzir Moshe Rabbeinu. The Arachai Makadar says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he dealt with Bnei Yisrael, he was very self-effacing. He always bowed down to everybody. He was nichna to everybody. He was an evet to people. He wasn't brazen. He wasn't audacious. And avada with people, you have to be find chayin with people and be edel to people and make them happy. You have to be a people pleaser in the sense that that's the mitzvah of chaveru. The person has to be edel and fine and good and geschmack, but not for the sake of some advantage. Not because that's the right way. Because that's how halacha is, that a person should be nice to other people and never try to hurt anybody and do everything to help if possible. But not in any way for my advantage. Once I'm doing something for my advantage, I send you a birthday card because I have a favor to ask you tomorrow. Thus shine aura gever. This is a curse that I'm putting my faith in you and I am trying to please you so that tomorrow I get a favor out of you. I'm sending you a birthday card. I want to make it feel good. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, so again, the person has a boy dick in his heart. Why am I sending this person a birthday card? Why am I sending a person a birthday card? Am I doing it to get a favor tomorrow? And I'm putting my faith in that person that he can get me a good job, or he can get me a good deal. He'll get me or am I doing it because I really like him and I really want to make him feel good? Oh, this is the bedika.
So he says that the proof positive, he says, that you are a person who is really putting faith in Hashem and not in people is that a person becomes a God pleaser more than a people pleaser. That means the same amount of time you put into, so you send the guy the birthday card, but you went ahead, you went to the store, in this shop, right, the great card store, all kinds of cards in Tolman, and you spent half an hour trying to find the perfect card for your boss. Did you spend that much time looking for Lulav and Esrog this year? How much time did you put into getting a Lulav and Esrog? Or did you send your wife to pick it up for you? Or your kid? Or you told the guy, you know, just bring me over to the house a Lulav and Esrog, you know, just whatever is fine. Never forget, Miami, I lost it. I was in the store there, I was climbing Lulav and Esrog for myself and my boys for hours, and people asked me, okay, they didn't know. I was with them, we did it together. And then a shiksa comes into the store. A guy who had once learned in yeshivas. A guy who was once a rav, mind you. Then he went off and became a lawyer. He decided Rabban is too harsh. So what became of this guy? He sent his Spanish shiksa to the store to just pick up a little nesek for him. Azoy vayt gefalon. How you can, what's going to become from a person? The most learned in yeshiva was once a rav. Didn't like the Rabbanah, so he became a professional. So it's fine. This is not a job for everybody, the rabbinate. You know, I always say it's not a job for a nice Jewish boy. It's only a job for a very nice Jewish boy. You're very nice. Yeah, you like people. Otherwise, but to go send your Spanish shiksa to go back, to this day, I can't forget it. I can't forget it. The guy sends his shiksa to go pick up a little Nesrik for him. Unbelievable. Because she has good taste. So, the kids are, so how much time do we spend on being Boydikar Tzitzis every day? And how much time do we spend on making our customers be happy? How much time spend on the season's greeting cards we send out, all kosher without anything on it? How much time do you send out on the season greeting card? And how much time do you spend on making sure you have nice clean tzitzis and your talus is beseder? And you have a new pair of tefillin, you check your tefillin lately, maybe it's scratched. So that we don't check the tefillin. But before you go to the customer, you make sure to take a little comb with you, and we brush our hair a little bit, and make sure you shave another time. So the face for the customer, we make sure it's very clean and neat and fine. Make sure you make my tie right. I've got to make the button over here. But, they got to check their tzitzit. Make sure the tzitzit's over there. So we have to check every morning before we make a bracha. The kitzur is a litmus test that a person's a bateach v'ashem is that a person becomes a God pleaser far more than a people pleaser. That is one of the great simonim of Hakam. Because it's Pashut, he says, that if you are mamres Hashem, if you know b'feirish, you're doing things against their Rabbanu Shlom, how can you say I'll be talking Hashem? It doesn't make sense. You expect Hashem is going to take care of you if you're constantly speaking words that you know He hates. You're looking at things you know He hates. You're going places you know He hates. You're acting in the way you know He hates. You're thinking thoughts that Hashem despises. So you want to curry Hashem's favor by doing things that are despicable to the Rabbanu Shlom? It's a lie. You're not a Baal Bitachon. You're lying to yourself. You're fooling yourself. You're totally fooling yourself. If you think Hashem, your whole life is dependent on the Rabbanu Shlom, then you have to spend a lot of time pleasing the Rabbanu Shlom, thinking thoughts, how can I please the Rabbanu Shlom? How can I make a campaign? I have to make a goodwill campaign over here. I've got to please the Rabbanu Shlom. What can I do to please the Rabbanu Shlom? Maybe I have to do this mitzvah. Maybe I have to get this aveira out of my life. Maybe I have to learn more. Maybe I have to taka do tzedakah better, with more seichel, nitzdam, impulsively, chaplap, defensive tzedakah. If someone bugs me enough, I give them tzedakah. Now I don't look how worthy the cause is. My money is hefker, and I don't think about it. Defensive tzedakah, to get it off my back, or whatever, to make my friends happy, I'll be a better citizen, please my friends. I'm giving tzedakah, please my friends, not Donny. Because that's my friend's cause, so I want to be popular. The kids just start thinking about everything we do. Am I giving to tzedakah because I want to be doyman to the Rabbanu Shlom? Mahu racham, afator racham. Hashem is merciful. I want to be merciful. That's the greatest form of flattery is imitation. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So if I want to flatter the Rabbanu Shlom, I'll imitate the Rabbanu Shlom. Hashem is merciful. I'm going to really be merciful, really empathetic. And I'm going to be so nice to my wife. I'll be so nice to my wife. The empathy starts at home. Sympathy doesn't start with tzedakah. The biggest tzedakah is to be nice to my wife and my children, and to be really concerned for their feelings, really, not baloney, but really. And emes, I feel tzar for my wife. She works so hard, and she has this pain and that pain. She's so emotionally fragile. I feel so bad for my children. That's such a hard day in school. I don't
they come home, I want to make life easy for them and geschmack for them. I want to make it good for them because I really feel for them. And it's not that I want to be the good dad. I want to give them quality time for my conscience sake. But I really care about my children. I really feel I want to make them a little happier. I see they're depressed a little bit. I want to make them a simcha. I want to make it freilich for them. I want to care about them. I'm going to learn with them because I want them to grow up. I want to improve their lives. I want to make them good. And I want to get nachas for my kid, the A student. I'm doing it. That's what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doing it for. Hashem wants A students. Hashem wants the happy, holy children. So I'm being with my kids because I want to be happy and holy and holy and happy. And I'm with my wife because I really care about her. I really, not because she shouldn't bug me anymore. And I want to have shalom bayis because the opposite of shalom bayis is hell. So I'm doing it because I shouldn't have gehenim. But not because I really care about my wife. But the kids, I don't want the gehenim of a nagging wife. So that's why I'm doing it. Well, that's what a bunch of does things for us. Hashem does things because he really mahu rachum of atorachum. Mahu chanu nafatochanon. Hashem really cares. Hashem really loves us. Hashem really mamish is concerned for our welfare. So that's why I do anything good. I do chesed because, and I go benachem oval today by somebody in the Shdor Gadach. I'm not going because of a social obligation and because they came to visit me or they did something for me. I'm going because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is benachem avolim and I have to benachem avolim. And I'm doing it l'shem yichud. And even if I don't mean it, I started off leaving the house because of the social purposes. But now that I'm by the door, I'm saying, am I so stupid that I'm doing this mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach, this opportunity to remake my personality, to be a divine person. I'm doing it just for a social purpose, like a goy does it. Any goy can be Menachem Avol like that. Even the Chayid, and a Yid is an artist, a Yid is a sculptor. And I'm supposed to remake my entire personality to be a replica of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's why I'm doing it. And that's real bitachon. That imitation is the highest form of flattery. Then I want to flatter the Rebbeinu Shel Olam taka. I want to flatter the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's the ultimate bitachon. I want to be like him. And when I'm like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is like me. And the mevatel my ratzon to the ratzon Hashem, so Hashem mevatel's ratzon to my ratzon. That's real bitachon. Real bitachon is to be a God pleaser, says the Chovetz Chabad. To be a God pleaser. And therefore it says, until I'm lama zayin, betach b'Hashem, v'asei toiv. The proof that you really betach b'Hashem is that you do good. But you do good because you want to please Hashem. You do good because you want to emulate Hashem. Shechon eretz urei amunah. Stay where you are. Don't go traveling and running around so much. Urei amunah. Urei is with an ayin. Urei means and cultivate amunah. Have an amunah garden. Everybody should have a little garden. Everybody needs a little garden in their life. You have to garden. And it's very nice to have roses and petunias and daisies. It's a beautiful garden. But the first garden is the garden of our heart. And there we cultivate real faith in Hashem. And every good deed we do in a divine fashion is a beautiful flower, and we enjoy it for the rest of our lives. It's not a perennial, it's an eternal flower. It's a flower that never dies, it stays forever, it's a good reyach, it's a beautiful thing, and it inspires. I did a mitzvah, I did a shein mitzvah, l'shem shemayim in my life. Finally I did something, l'shem the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, not for my, out of my habits, and not because of again, I'm trying to impress people or make myself feel good and a sop to my conscience. I finally did a mitzvah because I really cared. I was nice to my wife, not to stop her nagging, and not because I'm afraid she'll divorce me, but I'm doing it because, a million reasons, she's a human being, and the only person who make a wife happy is a husband. And I'm making her happy. Plus, I want the mitzvah to make her happy. And I can be nice to her and empathetic to her. And I'll listen to her for once. I'll keep my big mouth shut, and I'll keep my big ears open and my big heart open. Because the ears are not enough. The ears are just a funnel to the heart. And for once in a while, I'll keep my big heart open, and my heart will also be silent. I'm going to really listen to her pain, and I'll empathize and see what I can do to really, really, really be nice to her. Really care about her. Not stop getting off my back. Give pot the gavarn. Because I want to be like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Because I'm a Baal B'Tochen. And the Baal B'Tochen means I want to please Hashem. And more than, I want to be like Hashem. Because that's what Hashem wants from me. And the more talk, I want to be like Hashem. I say, this is my man. This man I help. This man I give simcha. This is, I'm filled with Hashem. And we don't have Hashem. Bitacha means to be filled with Hashem. Ultimately, bitacha means to be filled with Hashem. Then you have an enthusiastic life. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek. En theos. God within. En theos. God within. So, be talking about Hashem. Be talking about that, not an intellectual thing. Be talking in the heart. Be talking that my whole being is permeated with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Be talking means I am, so to speak, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I am totally a Mishkan L'Shechina.
So of course, if I'm told you they're Bashdom, we are inseparable. Everything's going to be great. Because it can't be otherwise. Because I'm saturated with their Bashdom. I'm soaked with their Bashdom. So what Shaykh, we're inseparable. But if I'm not pleasing their Bashdom, I'm doing everything for either myself or to please the ganze Welt that I think is good for myself. Das heißt Bitachen. Das ist Bitachen. It's falsch. There's no Shaykhs to be talking. It's Ora Gevra Shiftach Ba'adam. That's Mamash a curse. Because without their Banisham inside us, we are cursed, Rahman al-Islam. The only Brach is when Hashem is inside of us. Baruch HaGevra Shiyitach Bitachen means Hashem, I want to be like you. I want Mahu Racham of Atochanun. Mahu Racham, I want to be Mamash of Banisham. A carbon copy of their Banisham. Carbon copy of their Banisham. Their Banisham, come in. I want to be, I welcome you into my life. Come, Rav Banishtam, come, I'm not avoiding you. Come. That's why we fill our hearts with Torah and with Yiras. That's why a person has to learn, because really, unless we learn, the hearts are so hard. So you go and you take a piece of frozen meat. You can't do anything with a piece of frozen meat. First you have to thaw it out. You have to defrost it. Torah is Warmkeit. Torah is what defrosts our frozen hearts. And then we put Torah in the heart, then we have to tenderize the Torah. The Torah is first the defrost cycle in the microwave. You're defrosting. You can't even tenderize it. And then you put the salt, and you put the tenderizing. And then you can start cooking it. Then you can start cooking with Besser Zachen, with mitzvahs and all the things. But without Torah, the heart is a piece of ice. Without Torah, the heart is ice. There's no place for their Ribono Shel Olam. There's no room for their Ribono Shel Olam. It's a kaltif, a prayer in the heart. There's no room for anything. Zogt der Chavz Avavis, but Bitachen is B'tach Vashem V'asei Toiv. And but if a person thinks he's going to be Hashem, he says Bitachen V'Hashem, that Hashem is going to answer my prayers when I'm still not answering Hashem's prayer. Hashem davens for us every day. Gemara says there are a bunch of davens, just like we daven to Hashem. Hashem davens, and what Hashem davens every day is, oh, I wish that be that Yankel, and I wish that Shmerel, and I wish that Ramelo will be good Jews. I wish they'll welcome me into their hearts. I wish they'll be like me. Oy, I wish they'd be like me. I wish they want to copy me. I wish they'd learn Torah Takavi, the dark design, Torah to emulate their Bainu Shlom Ahu of Ato. I wish they'd be Erlich HaYidin. I wish they'd be talking to me. That's what Hashem davens. I wish they'd really want to serve me and they love me. Oh, but they don't love me. They love themselves. They love other people. So how do you expect Hashem to do your Ratzon if you're not doing His Ratzon? Hashem davens every day also. We're constantly disappointing Hashem. We are constantly throwing Hashem's prayers back into His face. Hashem, every day, it's a brach and kavi yachal that we are not answering His prayers, so you expect that He should answer our prayers. So a bateach b'Hashem has to be a person who is doing the ratzon Hashem. Impossible otherwise. This is the fourth akdama of the Chavos Levavos, and the mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll continue with the future akdamas.